Another thing that we find about the conduct of a fool: a fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. So a fool is someone who doesn't put a guard over their lips. They say what they want to say. They say it the way they want to say it. They really don't care who hears it. And they really don't care who is offended. And so what they say, as it says here, invites a beating. I've met people who are like this. You tell them, don't say that. You don't say that. You're going to get in trouble. Don't say that. But they just can't help themselves. Better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse. Perverse, this word perverse has gotten we don't know what it means. There's so much talk about what's perverted. It sort of has a almost exclusively sexual connotation, in the sense that something is out of the ordinary or perverted. But perverse simply means twisted. I remember there was a problem that I had in fluid mechanics one day, and I just filled up my blue book with equations, and I just went and went and went and went and went. It was a hard, hard question, and I got the right answer. And when I got my blue book back, the teacher marked there. He said, of the 75 people who took the test, you and one other person got the right answer. He said, so that's good. But he said, you just got lucky, because none of your work makes any sense. Minus 20. I thought that was terribly unfair. I had twisted and turned and twisted and turned and twisted and turned, come up with the right answer. But my father has a saying. He said, even a blind pig finds an acorn every once in a while. A fool whose lips are perverse, meaning that when they talk, it's not a straight line. It twists and turns, and it's curved, and it's out of steps. Moving into Ecclesiastes, which we haven't done yet, but Ecclesiastes has a lot to say about this fool. And the fool here is always this stupid person, and it has to do with coming to the house of God. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. I remember looking at this and I said, you mean you can go to church and because of your conduct at church, you actually can be, instead of pleasing God, you can be doing things that displease God? And I read it again and I said, yes, that's exactly what it says. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. And this is how you do wrong, how you be foolish in church. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few. Next page. As a dream comes when there are many cares, so the speech of a fool when there are many words. Sometimes when I'm preaching, I think about this. It doesn't deter me much, but I think about it. He goes on, when you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger, my vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, stand in awe of God. The point, if we're going to avoid this foolish contact in the house of God, is to realize that we are in God's house. He's bigger than we are. And don't be quick to utter promises in God's house. This is a passage that I always, always use in premarital counseling, because I sit down with a couple and I say, you're about to make promises, and you're about to make promises before God in this sanctuary. A promise is a vow. And I tell them, don't be a fool. You may think you're just getting married. You may think that you're just hoping and praying that things work out. But the reality is, don't make that promise before God and then say, it was a mistake. God has no pleasure in fools. Now, most of the time, the young people are so used to making promises in church that they don't keep, that this is just another one. Some of you may run into my philosophy on confirmation. Confirmation, the youth who are confirmed make promises. One of those promises is to go to church, to be with God's people, to take his supper regularly. And so I tell these young people before they even start the program, I say, look, these are the promises you're going to make at the end. So this is what you're going to do while you're in confirmation. If you can't do this, if you can't come to church during confirmation, I'm not going to allow you to make a vow before God that I know you will not keep. Because the next one you make in church is your marriage vows. And I don't want you to get the idea that you can just stand before God and say whatever the preacher wants you to say if you get what you want. Same thing happens with baptism. A baby that comes for baptism, parents who come for baptism, that baby can't make a profession of faith. They have no idea. But our theology is that the parents sanctify the child if they're believers. And they make promises. They make vows to bring the child to church, put the scriptures in their hand, teach them the Lord's Prayer, teach them the Ten Commandments. Don't be a fool and think that you can satisfy your parents or your grandparents, bring your child to be baptized to get them off your back, because God is listening. And he heard it. And believe me, God has a memory better than an elephant. So, don't be a fool. Don't speak out of turn. Don't be quick or hasty when you're talking to God. Think about what you're going to pray about. Think about the promises you're going to make. Any questions about that? That's kind of a pet peeve of mine. All right, Ecclesiastes 7:4 and 7:5 and 7:6. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. It is better to heed a wise man's rebuke than to listen to the song of fools. Like the crackling of thorns under the pot, so is the laughter of fools. This, too, is meaningless. He contrasts here the wise person versus the fool. The wise person is in the house of mourning. The wise person is thinking about the end of things. The wise person is thinking about the fact he will die. The fool is putting off those thoughts as long as he can, and he wants to hang out at the house of laughter. He wants to party all the time, or she wants to party all the time and not think about the pain in the world or the end of all things. This also is a meaningless thing. The laughter of fools. People who just don't get it. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. That's another thing about fools. And we'll see it again and again and again. Fools are just angry. Some people have found out that if you're just an angry person and people are afraid of you and afraid of what you're going to say, that you get a little more attention and you get a little, you get what you want a lot of the time. But anger is the way of fools. Because in the end, all people want to do as soon as they can is get away from you. So anger is a foolish or the way of the stupid. They haven't thought this thing through. Bullying, being angry, gets them what they want for a while, but it doesn't work all the time. Going on, the heart of the wise inclines to the right, and the heart of the fool to the left. Even as he walks along the road, the fool lacks sense and shows everyone how stupid he is. Ecclesiastes 10:12, words from a wise man's mouth are gracious, but a fool is consumed by his own lips. At the beginning, his words are folly. At the end, they are wicked madness. And the fool multiplies words. A fool's work wearies him. He does not know the way to town. I think you'll get that one. A fool's work wearies him, so he forgets the way to work. On to page 3. This section has to do with the fact that stupid persons cannot understand the doom of evildoers. They are always kind of focused on the short term. From Psalm 92, the senseless man does not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. But you, O Lord, are exalted forever. It is just a foolish person and a foolish thing to say when a person is called to a standard of righteousness and of justice and of just living, and they simply say, well, why should I do what is right when I can see over here this guy is doing evil and he's thriving? He's getting rich. Why can't I be evil too? The fool does not know that though evildoers flourish, they are destroyed in the end. So the fool likes what his eyes see him and what his eyes tell him, what is in the short-term benefit. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? That's another thing. I remember, I better not tell that story. When I was in the Army, I was in a battalion that had, and I was in a support company, and we had a bunch of truck drivers, and I was a dispatcher. And and these truck drivers would come in. Now, I know nothing about mechanics. I know nothing about driving a truck. And these young 18, 19, 20-year-olds, they had joined the Army so that they could drive things. And it was the funniest thing because in our day room, the books, the magazines that were in the day room were like Overhauler and books about trucking, long-haul trucking. And all of these guys wanted to be truckers when they got out of the Army. And yet you would talk to them. And you just got the sense that they didn't quite understand the point of it all. They didn't understand that truck driving is work. And they didn't understand that if you drove a truck, you probably were going to have to take care of your truck. And they would say something that was just atrociously wrong. I didn't know that much about trucks, but I knew that that was wrong. And so I would kind of say, well wait a minute. I don't think you have your facts straight. And they would say, well, what do you mean? I said, it seems to me I read something. Well, here it is right here. And I would show them in a book or a magazine. And they would say, well, I know what I'm talking about. And I don't care what your stupid book says. Fools hate knowledge. It seems like the dumbest thing you can imagine, and you would think as much emphasis is put on education and knowledge that there just wouldn't be people out there who are so committed to not wanting to know the facts. They'd rather be appealed to on the basis of their emotions. And so, whenever you start telling them the facts, they get mad. They hate the facts because it means they have to change the way that they see things and they even see themselves.